One of the things that a lot of people are convinced, if you talk to people in the neighborhood, most of the areas, probably the fastest growing religions are the charismatics. And you'll run across people who believe that they are absolutely convinced the Spirit directly talks through them. And the Spirit guides their decisions and all the things they do in their life. And yet, strangely, these same people claim things that are totally contrary to the teachings of the Bible. And even between two people who say the Spirit is guiding them, they rarely agree with each other. And what I wanted to look at today is just a little something I ran across that Terry Benton had wrote just a little short article, and I said, you know what, I can expand on this a little bit. And I like to deal with that. And that's the fact that the Bible is a product of the Spirit. So many people treat the Bible as if it is just a bunch of people's words. Nice things, but they basically treat it as if it's written by man. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and starting in verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the night star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We need to pay attention to this word, because these words are a guide to our lives, like the songs that we were singing. These words are a lamp to our feet. These words come from God Himself. And those words were searched out by the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And starting with verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We have access through the Spirit to the wisdom of God. Can you think about how much wisdom he's talking about here? We have access to that. And that's freely presented to us by the apostles. They received those words from the Spirit, and it's not their own words. These are the things the Spirit told them to say. And they recorded it down for us. As Peter also mentions in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and starting with verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to look into. It is the apostles and the prophets who told us what the Spirit just chose to reveal. And we know things that the prophets in the Old Testament, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, things that they longed to want to know, what was God talking about? But they didn't get the full story. But the Spirit chose to give us the full story, and it's recorded for us. So mysteries that were known in the that were unknown in the past became known to us. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship God's grace has been given to me for you, that by the revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I have been made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. All that God has revealed is that all the people in the world can now partake in the salvation of God. Is open to everyone. And that was revealed by the Spirit according to God's power. And so, when we talk about the Scriptures, Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but by the righteous man shall live by faith. Therein lies the power of God. Therein lies what the Spirit has done for us. And so when we're reading the Bible, it's not just some man's work. When we read the Bible, we are listening to what the Spirit taught us. That's why when we look at Revelation, back when we studied that, in those letters to the churches, you know, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that same phrase, hear what the Spirit says to the churches, is repeated in verse 7, 11, 17, 29, chapter 3, verse 6, 13, and verse 22. In other words, every one of those churches, every one of those letters, hear what the Spirit says. Now, yes, it's written down, but that's God talking to us. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3 quotes a psalm to prove his point. In Hebrews chapter 3, and starting with verse 7, Hebrews 3, verse 7, it says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, and he's quoting one of the Psalms. that were written in the Old Testament. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But notice that the Spirit says, and the very first line is, today if you hear his voice. That's the voice of the Spirit. That's the voice of God. When you quote scriptures, you're telling people what the Spirit says. And when we follow God's words, then the Spirit's leading us. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46 and verse 16. And 48, verse 16. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Come near to me. Listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says the Lord God, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments. And then goes on from there. God taught the Israelites what to do. He spoke to them. And his speaking is through the writings that were there. And if they had just followed what God had said, they would have so many benefits. But in the New Testament too, in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and starting with verse 1. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are walking according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the Spirit is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, but those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When we walk according to the Spirit, we're following God's commandments. It's not something mysterious. It's not something unusual. It's what God has taught. When we listen to what God has said. And when you think about the Scriptures, when you have idle time and some passage comes up in your head, then you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Take a look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Sometimes the kids in the Bible lab wants to know, why do we make them memorize so many passages? It's getting used to keeping God's word with you. So the Spirit is dwelling in you. So it's guiding your life. Because the scriptures are the voice of the Spirit. And those words have stood the test of time. Those words have been proven to be true. That's why we had as our scripture reading what Agur had said in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, and starting with verse 5. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His word, or He will reprove you, and you'll be proved a liar. Notice there's testing going on. Every word of God is proved, it's tested. And if you add to it, you'll be proved a liar. These are God's words. Change them at your own risk. Claim something else is also God's word at your own risk, because these are the proven words of God. But there always will be people who will lie. There will always be people who will claim that God spoke to them. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah had to deal with this. Even while he was prophesying, this is what God said, there were people coming up and saying, no, I got a word message from God. And it was different what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah 23, in verse 21, God says, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. They were so eager to claim that this was what God said. And God said, I didn't send them. I never gave them my word. And so God opposed these people. Down in verse 32, He said, Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them, and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish the people with the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. And that's true. You look at with these people that claim to have the Spirit. Look at how many are profiting from it, making money off of it. But it doesn't benefit those who follow. They're only speaking things of their own imagination. Take a look at Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14 and verse 14, Then the Lord said to me, The prophets who are prophesying falsehood in my name, I have not neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divinations, futility, and the deceptions of their own mind. They're lying to themselves. And they believe their own lies. And people followed them for the most part because what these lying prophets said were the things that the people wanted to hear. In Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel 13 verse 6, they see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Do you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? God said, can't you see that they're lies? But the answer is at the end of verse 6. People hope that it's true. It's what they wanted to hear. Why are people following so many people claiming to have the Spirit today? And they speak things that are just contrary to what the Bible says, because it's what they want to hear. It makes them feel good. Instead of saying they need a change and become better people. But the Spirit's word always stands up to test. One of the things I find fascinating is when I talk to some of these people and I ask for evidence, they get very huffy. They get very put out. Well, how dare you not believe? And really, the answer is, how dare you speak as if you're speaking on behalf of God without offering proof? Take a look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it was coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How then I put these people to test? Now the problem that John's talking about is they had people running around saying, well, Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. He was just a spirit that people imagined, saw, but he wasn't really there because they were convinced that anything fleshly was sin. That's why he talked about who actually says Jesus came in the flesh. Because that's already been proven to be true. But John goes on and says, here's how you test. If he listens to what we say, that's here in this book, then he's from God. If he won't listen to what the apostles and or contradicts them or says something different, they are not from God. And think about how many denominations today are saying, oh, the Bible's outdated, that's changed, that's somehow different. These are people who are not from God. But God's words are tested. But as we said, you know, as John mentions, the world listens to them because they tell them what the world wants to hear. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 13. It says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convicted of, knowing from whom you have learned them. There will always be evil men. And they will sound sincere because they are absolutely convinced that what they think is true, even if it contradicts what the scriptures teach. But we know where we have our source. We know what God has actually said. And the words of the Spirit are complete. In verse 16, it's in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is from God and has everything to make us complete. It's only God's words that protect us. Back in again in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11. I directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. These are God's words. Think how we should ought to treasure them and make them a part of our lives. Because those words will protect us. Those words will give us life. And one last passage in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24 says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." How do we walk by the Spirit? Well, we listen to what God said. We hear the Spirit's words and we follow them. It's not some little tiny voice of my imagination telling me what I want to hear, but rather God tells me what I need to hear and has taught it and proven that these are so. I hope you'll think about these things this day. And if there's anyone here who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the Selector.